started, as John said, with this church kind of back in September time, it was really. And this morning, I'm going to be sharing, and myself and the team will be sharing a little bit of the journey as to what we've been kind of doing over the last 9 months or so, 9-10 months or so. And yeah, so I'm going to invite, if I can invite Zach and Jess and Phil forward, let's give these guys a round of applause, please. It'd be amazing. Okay, so what we're going to do to start off with is I thought we would do a little bit of, I'm going to ask these guys some questions, a little bit of an interview as to what's been happening over the last, like I said, 10 months or so. A bit of an honest reflection from the three of them. Some of them I'm going to be asking individually, some I'm going to be throwing out there. Okay, so the first question is for Phil, the main man. So Phil, it is, mate, it is. Phil, this is for you. So before we launched...
Oh, great. Thank you. It's amazing.
Can we actually get a round of applause for John Shorts this morning? He's showing his legs.
Okay, so Phil, before we launched the Youth Work Limitless Stratford in the church, what were your honest expectations and what were the dreams and hopes you had, especially in year one?
So I, foolishly, I don't know, I thought it was going to be packed from the beginning. I thought we spent quite a long time planning. We had some really good ideas, lots of experience in the team. Jess had run youth groups before. James, obviously, very, very experienced. And so we had some really good ideas, what we're going to do, what it's going to look like. And I thought it was just going to be jammed, packed from the beginning. It would be this new thing, this new craze that went around town. And for like the first 6 months, we had three people, maximum of three people every week. So that was an interesting challenge. Especially early on, I just thought that it would be super popular and that we would outgrow, because we meet in our church shottery building, and I thought we'd outgrow that within the first month. So that was an interesting challenge.
Interesting. Well, come on to the challenges a little bit, mate. Yeah, great. Thank you. Really good. Jess, next question's for you. So looking back on the last year, academic year, what have been the biggest lessons you'd say you've learnt during that time? And were the times that you ever kind of felt like giving up, this isn't going to happen, that kind of thing? So if you could just expand on that, it'd be great.
Yes. I think we regularly wanted to give up. I think it just got quite unbearable with just like three people. We're questioning whether this is what God wanted us to do or whether we were doing the right thing. And I've got some notes. If there are only three people, why would God ask us to do this? This is silly. Like, we're all turning up on a Wednesday night, doing the same thing, getting ready, and there's three people, and it just didn't seem to go anywhere. The one thing I have learnt is that God doesn't work to our timetable. We had all these lovely plans, and we'd got all this stuff, but God just kind of dribbed and drabbed these young people to us, and I think God has honoured our turning up. We pray a lot about God honouring us arriving after long days and hard weeks setting up, and I think and God honoring the small in that as well. So those three young people we were able to have like amazing conversations with and get to know really well, which has been a really good foundation actually to grow on.
Brilliant. Thank you for that. And Zach, next one's for you, mate. So for you, Zach, what has been, tell me about one of the highlights for you personally over the last year. And one thing you look back and think, actually, that made it worth it. That was kind of made it worthwhile. What's the one thing for you?
Losing at table tennis every week.
Zach has got progressively better each week. Table tennis.
I would have to say last week when we had the most amount of kids I think we've had. Yeah. On a nice sunny field, having a barbecue with everybody.
Yeah.
Carrying on from what Jess said about. Not working towards, I can't remember what you just said. You said something about God's. God doesn't work to our timetable, we work to his. So I think that was quite
amazing.
Yeah.
Really good. So last week, all those weeks of.
Last week
made it worth it. Okay, so a question to all of you, I'm just going to throw it out there, this one. What is the one thing that you think, you feel that God has taught you over the past year? In this pioneer of new youth, what one thing God's taught you? I'll throw it out to whoever wants to answer. Phil?
So I think it's just reflecting back on what Zach and Jess said about just honoring the small. And I look back, although originally I thought, you know, this is going to be crazy. It's going to take off massively. Just the time we had with just those three young people were really, really special. And just for us to be able to invest that amount of attention and effort into those three young people that are still coming back, they came back last week. It's just that God really, that's special to God, and it's not about the large numbers, it is about the individuals. And so the time with those young people, it was very, very special.
Great. Anyone else?
And also for us as well, to get to know each other a lot more. I think God kind of secretly, well, not secrets anymore, but I think that was part of the reason we didn't have lots of young people, so that we could get to work together well and get to know each other. And I think that is a massive reflection on young people, to see good adult relationships.
Great, really good. Right, I'm going to throw out the last question. This is for all of you. Okay, so this is a must answer, all of you. Okay, so in three words, just three words, I want you to summarise the last year for me in pioneering this new youth work. Three words.
Patience.
Good. Great word.
Patience, and patience. come back to me.
Cool, okay. Got patience. Got
oh, gosh, that is on. I've got roller coaster, exhausting, but energizing.
Great, brilliant.
Roller coaster.
Exhausting, energizing.
I've got fun, touching, and tiring.
Good, great. Almost three T's, almost.
Yeah, almost, yeah.
Is that enough time, Zach? Have you got any more? We've got patience.
Supple,
yeah. I said that's a bit of an in joke, which nobody else would get.
sorry.
That's all right, mate. It's fine.
speechlessness. Growth.
Growth. Brilliant.
Personal growth.
Great. So patience and personal growth.
Yeah.
I'll give those the three words. We'll chuck supple in there as a added fourth. Do you know what? I want to publicly honour these three, because they, like they've just kind of shared, every single week without fail, when there's just been a couple, quite often there's more adults than there is young people, or quite often previously, every single week showed up. Never heard them complain, moan, grumble. Just always faithful in being there and continuing to see. And I'm going to share a little bit about our journey and a little bit about how we're starting to see more breakthrough and growth now. Actually, Jess is going to do that in a second. But can we just thank these three for what they've given and what they've done over the past 9 months? I know that it's going to continue on and God's going to do more stuff. But just for what you've done, thank you so much. And it's been a real pleasure to work with you all. Real pleasure. Okay. I'm going to hand over to Jess, because Jess now is going to lead us into our next bit. This is going to involve a bit of a congregation participation. And so Jess, please let everyone know what's happening.
I need to use a mic. Oh, just sit down. Okay. Is it even on? Yeah. I've got some prayer points. And we've broken them up into three categories. So I've got prayer points for young people, and I've listed all the names of the young people that we've been meeting. And I've got the leaders, so where we're at the moment, and the future. And they're all into three different categories. And I'd like you to get into little different groups, and I'll give you one of these categories. And if you could, as a group, spend 10 minutes praying about the things that we've written down and other things that come to mind, that'd be really fantastic. And if you have any words or any pictures or anything that can encourage us, or that the church needs to be encouraged by, please do like shout that out. And so I don't think we've done this before, but kind of like little pockets of prayer groups in church on a Sunday morning. It would be really cool. So I don't know how you want to do it, like maybe two over here and kind of one over here. If don't move too much, I think. Just try and...
And so, Father, we thank you for all that you're doing with Limitless Stratford, and we thank you for all our young people, for all our leaders, and for the exciting future that you've got for us. And may we just walk in your plans. Amen. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, everybody. So just to finish off with this morning, I'm going to just share a short word related to this subject and related to the theme we've been talking about, particularly talking about our plans and some of the stuff that we shared as a team about how we make plans and maybe they don't always go exactly as we had hoped or as we thought they may do. There's a phrase that you probably will have heard of in life, and it goes like this. It says, failing to plan is planning to fail. They've all heard that, yeah? Okay, so that's something that I suppose it's a bit of a mantra for my own life that I try and live by and try and make sure that I'm planning my life to the best of my ability as well as I can so that I can kind of try and take out as many elements of surprise as I can. Also trying to have a sense of spontaneity as well, because I do like a little bit of spontaneity in my life. So 7 years ago, in this October coming, I would be married for 7 years. I got married to my wife, Debs, 7 years. Yeah, it's good, isn't it? Yeah, I know, it's great. Debs and I were together for 3 years before we got engaged, and I did the right thing eventually and asked her to marry me, and the rest is history, as they say. When we were getting preparing to get married for the actual kind of service, Debs was living up in her hometown of Liverpool where we were getting married. That's where we kind of that's where we had the service, and I was actually living down in Cornwall, so we weren't very close geographically. So it meant that actually a lot of the planning of the wedding itself, Debs did. She kind of got most of it done. I didn't see our reception venue that until the day before we got married, so kind of just had to get on with it. I was like, sweet, yeah, that's fine, I don't have to do much. The one thing I thought I'd take responsibility for, okay, is I would take responsibility for our honeymoon. So I was, we were gifted with some money, and I thought, okay, so I will plan this. And I thought what I'd try and do is I will plan this completely on my own, I get it all sorted, and make sure that nobody knew about, first and foremost, where we were going, including Deb. So I planned it all and made sure that it was all sorted so that nobody knew what was happening apart from me. Fast forward to our departure day. Okay, so we were married. Everything was good. I think we were due to go out about 2 days after we got married. And we were flying out from Liverpool Airport. Like I said, we got married in Liverpool. We were flying out from Liverpool Airport. It was 5 o'clock that day. We were flying out, 5 o'clock in the evening. All good, all happy, all sweet. We were so we kind of had a bit of a chill day. It was probably about mid-afternoon, probably about early afternoon, and we were getting packed and doing what we were doing. I just did make sure I just check everything and check all. I had all the documents in order, all that kind of thing. And I took that out and I looked at the time on our flight, which said 5 o'clock. And then to my horror, I realised that we were landing where we were going to in Lanzarote at 5 o'clock. And our flight was actually leaving in 40 minutes' time. Man, that moment, I could have cried. I went a lot whiter than I already am. I began to feel slightly pale and slightly sick. And I then revealed to Debs, throw that everything you've got in the bags. We need to go right now. Quick. And we threw everything into the car. Debs's dad drove us to the airport. And as we arrived, this was about half an hour journey to the airport. As we arrived to the airport, we saw our flight taking off to Lanzarote with us still in the UK. No word of a lie, but best start to married life ever. She was very gracious with me, very, very gracious. She forgave me, and we went on our honeymoon 2 days later, all fun, all joyous. Why don't I share that story? I thought I had everything planned out. I thought I had everything good, and I was trying to do this spontaneous thing and this thing that was hopefully going to, Debs was going to love, and I did do it. I just read the flight time wrong. So a bit of advice, always make sure you've got the right flight time when you're flying away anywhere. Even the most seemingly well planned of things, things that would go wrong, things can go wrong in even the most seemingly well planned of things. Planning and actually knowing the correct plans is a really important part of life. And actually, I'm going to share a little bit about our journey as a team, but also talking about our lives as followers of Jesus, how planning is important, but we also need to make sure that we're taking necessary steps in our life to make sure those plans come to pass. So, I'm going to read a quick verse from Proverbs. If you haven't got your Bible, it's just one verse in Proverbs 16. Okay, some of you have heard this proverb before. I love the book of Proverbs, really practical stuff. And in Proverbs 16, verse 9, it says the following. In his heart, a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps. I'm also going to read it for the Message version. I love the way that the Message puts it. It says, we plan the way we want to live, but only God makes us able to live it. Let me take us back to the start of our youth work with Limitless. Okay, we had planned, like Phil shared, we had planned. We probably spent about 3, maybe 4 weeks meeting up, planning as a team. We brought Skylar and Joe into that planning because we thought we needed to hear from some of the voices of young people in the town. We planned, we prayed, we got flip charts out, we got prepared, we brought equipment, we painted, we did all these kind of things, and we were ready to launch out into the town, into the young people of the town. We got to the new year, and like Phil's already shared, we, in all honesty, were a lot lower than we'd expected at that stage. We'd planned for that stage. We regrouped in the new year and we had another meeting. We thought, okay, let's begin to change the target audience of who we're reaching. We're going to open it out so we're reaching anyone who's 11 to 17. And we did that and we got to Easter. And still, we were really at a place where we thought we would be much further on in terms of numerically reaching on a Wednesday night. We weren't at the place where we thought we were going to be. We continued to turn up every single week. We worked together. We set up. We prayed. We laughed together. We played table tennis. We packed down every single week, and still we weren't seeing this breakthrough, which believed that that God was going to bring, and we just kind of didn't quite know what was going on. In the past 6 weeks or so, this is the good news, okay? In the past 6 weeks or so, we have seen, I believe every single week, if not bar one, we've seen a new young person come along every single week, which is just so, so good. And this last Wednesday just gone, remember that kind of between October and about Easter, we were seeing 3 to 4 young people regularly on any given week. This last Wednesday just gone, we saw 3 completely new young people come and join us on a. I think that's good. It's a round of applause moment right there. We went, as Zach shared, this Wednesday we had like a end of exams. A lot of the young people would be sitting there exams, and we had an end of exam barbecue celebration on the park just close to Shottery. And we had about 10 young people that evening, didn't we? And we were just playing football, and we had a barbecue out, and it's just so good to see how it's been at times really frustrating and kind of times where we're just like, what is going on here? But God, over the last, like I said, 6 weeks or so, has began to see that growth and began to see things happening. Through every single moment of the journey, we believe that God has spoken to us. We believe that God had given us the vision and the heart to see this happen. And we just weren't seeing the breakthrough. And actually, I think for myself, it's taught me loads of lessons of not rushing God. And actually, that our plans are very different to God's plans. I think God knows what he wants to do and where he's going to take us. But sometimes we believe it's going to be now. We're going to push things. We're going to do things quickly. And sometimes God's just like, whoa, slow down. I've got this in hand. Just trust me and believe that I've got this in what I'm going to do. What plans in your life have yet to come to pass? What words in your life has God spoken over you, over you as an individual, over your marriage, over your family, over your ministry, whatever that may be, over your work, that you've yet to see come to pass? What promises are you holding on to from God which you need to walk into? Or what areas do you actually need to fail in first in order to see success? Any people in here play chess? Any chess players in the place? Okay, I'm not one of them. I've been told very well, okay, and please nod with me just to confirm this. In chess, sometimes you have to take a step back in order to move forward. Is that good? Yeah, okay. And sometimes you have to lose a piece in order to gain another piece. Is that good? Yeah, good. I've got nods, which I'm really pleased to hear about. What plans in your life maybe need to fail or need to take a couple of steps backwards in order for God to open the right door, in order for God to show you the right move that you need to take next? Do we need to just admit defeat? And do you know what? We can sometimes labor at something and keep going and keep going and keep going, and that was never the right thing in the first place. And it's okay to say, do you know what? That was never meant to be. It's not worked. Let's move on. Let's move on. And let's move on to the next thing that God's got for us, or the right thing that God has got for us. Zach said this word earlier on. Where do we need to be patient and actually be holding on to those promises in order to see the fruit that God has for us in our life? Let me put it this way. You wouldn't want your plan to succeed if God, in fact, had a better one for you. You wouldn't want your plan to succeed unless God had, in fact, had God had a better one for you. Don't hold on to your plans too tightly. For myself, I can be somebody who plans, and watch that thing happen, and actually I'm holding on that plan way too tightly and not allowing God into that thing, allowing him to shape it and form it and do things differently. Okay, still in Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16, verse 3, so earlier on, says this. It says, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed. When I hear that verse, I ask a couple of questions. Actually, the main question I ask is, have we completely committed our plans to him? So there's a couple of questions that I'll be asking, a couple of ways that we maybe fail to commit our plans as we kind of look at this verse. So we can sometimes just commit our plans kind of superficially. People can say that, yeah, do you know what, God, I'm doing this for you. I'm doing this thing to see your glory come. Actually, in reality, we're just doing it for ourselves. We're doing it for our own agenda, for our own ego, whatever that may be, and whatever that may be in your life. I'm sure we've all done that in our kind of in our past, where we've done things, yeah, God, I'm doing this for you. And actually, it's just been to see our kingdom grow or our fame made bigger. And the other thing is actually others give God temporary control of their interest only to take control back when actually it's going the way they feel it should be going. We can't just say, God, yeah, take control now, and when it's going good, sweet, I'll carry on. It's giving God control in every area when we don't understand or don't quite maybe even trust completely. It's actually, that's where faith comes in, saying, look, God, I maybe don't understand, but I'm going to give you that anyway. And there's still others fully commit that thing to God, but don't do anything about it themselves. Just like, Lord, yes, yeah, I want you to see this thing happen, and just sit back and relax and hope it falls back into their lap. My experience of God is actually, I need to completely rely upon him, but I also have to work jolly hard to see these things happen myself. I can't just sit back and kind of hope that it happens. There's a phrase that I've heard in the book, and it says this, trusting in God as if everything depended on him, but working as if everything depended upon us. That's what we need to be doing in these plans for our lives. Anybody ever been out driving and you have realised you're going completely the wrong way? Anybody ever taken a wrong turn? Yeah, okay. Several times. Even sat-nav sends me the wrong places quite often. There's two things we can do when we take a wrong turn. We can stubbornly keep going, keep driving, and hope that eventually we'll turn up on the road and normally you end up in a field or something like that. Or we can actually admit defeat and say, do you know what, I've taken a wrong turn. Swallow your pride and turn back onto the right course so we know that we're going the right way. There's two ways we can do that. And actually, in our own life, exactly things that we can do when we know in God's plans, we can stubbornly go our own way, keep going this direction, keep going this direction. Actually, eventually, we'll either hit a brick wall or God will force us to turn back. Or actually, in the first instance, when we know that we've taken a wrong turn and gone down the wrong path, it's okay. You just navigate slightly off course, navigate right back on course where you need to be going. And those are the ways that we need to be walking in God as we navigate what he's got for us. When we fully commit our plans to God, like I believe we did as a youth group, and I'm sure there's times where we took wrong turns. I'm sure there's times where we maybe tried to force things which weren't meant to be. Actually, God's always brought us back on course. God's always brought us back onto the right path. And in your own life, there's going to be times where we're going to try and push things and try and maybe push on doors which are never meant to be open. God will make it really clear that actually that isn't the right door for you as an individual. For you as a church, as you navigate the future as to what God's got for you as a church, it's going to be times where you'll be pushing doors and actually they won't be right. And that's okay. You just keep on the straight and narrow path, the path that leads to life. Remember the promises of Romans 8:28, which says the following. And we know that God will work for the good of those who love him, but be called according to his purpose. We trust in God, not in treasures. We look for security in heaven, not on earth. We learn to accept, not to resent pain and persecution, because God is with us in it. Plans are essential for our life. I believe that, like I said at the start, failing to plan is planning to fail. Plans are so essential for our life, but don't hold on to those plans too tightly. Hold on to them loosely, knowing that God will ordain our plans. God's got the plans for our life that are good, that are going to give us a hope and a future. Actually knowing, like that verse says in Proverbs, that commit to the Lord whatever you do and your plans will succeed. When we commit our plans fully to God, knowing we've heard him, knowing that we have listened to his voice, however that may be, however long that's going to take, I know actually sometimes God's got a plan that's never meant to be fulfilled in our lifetime. Look at Moses. He never saw the promised land, but that plan was fulfilled. Know that God will fulfill those plans in our life, in his time, in his plan. And sometimes we just need to say, God, we trust you, take over, and these are your plans. I'm going to pray. I'm going to hand back over to John. Thank you, Father God. Lord God, I want to thank you first and foremost so much for this church. Thank you so much, Lord. This is a church that clearly wants to take steps of faith out, that clearly, Lord God, wants to do things which maybe are a bit scary, a bit big, maybe even out of their comfort zones, Father God. Thank you, Lord God, over the last 9 or 10 months, Lord, the journey we've been on with Limitless Stratford, that we're now connecting regularly with young people who don't know you, whose families don't know you, who don't really have any connection into church. Lord God, we pray for the future journey of that, Father God, as the team begin to navigate and take that forward, Father God. And also, Lord God, thank you for the plans that you've put into us as individuals, our lives, Lord God. Jesus, Lord, you have plans that are good for us, Jesus. I pray, Lord, as individuals, as married couples, as a church, Father God, that we will hear your voice. We will know, Lord God, where you'll lead us, where you're guiding us, Jesus. And Father God, we will just hold loosely onto the plans, Lord God, that we have and completely give them over and back to you. We pray these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen.
Guys, just to finish, I wonder if the Limitless team, can you guys just come and stand in the middle of the aisle just there? And let's just gather around them, shall we? We're just going to pray over them. So if we stand, Zach, come over. If we just gather around and just lay a hand on a shoulder, we're just going to pray for them as a team. Just invite you, just start to pray over them as a team. Just start to speak out your prayers. Maybe a few of you just pray specifically. So Father God, I thank you that we are living in the days of answers to prayer. Lord, prayers that have been prayed that this church would have a youth group, that we would see young people being impacted by the people that come to this church. God, just keep praying for them. Let's keep our hands on them. Let's just keep praying over them. And Lord, I just pray over Jamie. Lord, I thank you for him. Lord, I thank you for the blessing he has been to this church. An unseen blessing to most people in this church, but a real blessing to this town and a real blessing to this church. Lord, I thank you for his heart. Lord, a heart that I see in him like the heart of Elisha that arrived at that widow's house and she says, Elisha, you've got to do something. The creditors are coming. We're going to be bust. It's all falling apart. Nothing's going to work. We've got nothing. Yet he looks in and says, what have you got in this house? He says, we've just got a small bit of oil. And he's like, right, come on, we can use the oil. Lord, I thank you for his heart that says, I'm going to look in the churches that are struggling. The churches are saying, we haven't got anything. And he's going to say, come on, we've got something. Let's find what you've got and let's start to use it. And let's start to see what can happen. Lord, I pray that he would have a faith level rise within him in the churches that he goes into in this next year to find the oil in that church. And he would say to that church, go out and get as many vessels as you can because they are going to fill up. So Lord, will you just give him the spirit of Elijah, that faith of Elijah with that widow as he seeks out the oil. And Lord, I thank you that he sought out the oil in our church. And Lord, I pray that that oil would start to fill the empty vessels. The Lord, the youth team over Jess and Phil and Zach, Lord, I pray they would be like that widow that goes out and just finds every empty vessel they can, just spends themselves on seeing that oil grow and increase. Lord, I thank you for their heart. I thank you for their heart to serve you and to love young people. Lord, I ask, open up heaven, pour out your spirit on whatever numbers come in. Whatever numbers come in, let them be people that come to know you as their Savior, you as their Lord, that your kingdom would come and your will would be done. Lord, that is what you call us to do, to spend ourselves. Lord, we do it willingly because we've given our lives away. We've given our lives away. So I thank you for them. And so, Lord, over this whole youth team and what you've got planned, Lord, they have vision. Lord, will you come and fill it and consume it with your presence? That it wouldn't just be a great vision, it would be a God vision. And it would be established because they have sought you and know you and love you. So we thank you for them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen and amen. We're so blessed. Really are. A blessed church. We've had the generosity and the willingness to serve, and we're honouring specifically that team, but we just honour so many in our church. And so guys, we're going to finish next week. We're hoping we'll have We Can Be Heroes Part 3. Come along. If the weather's good, please come along. But enjoy this afternoon. Let me just pray. Father God, I thank you. I thank you that you see us and you want to use us. Oh, what a privilege that is. Let us never tire of doing your work. Lord, of being a parent, of just loving our kids and loving our kids to such a degree that they start to ask questions about you. Serving on a Sunday morning, let us never get tired of setting this thing up called church, knowing that this is creating a moment where people are going to encounter you. Lord, let us never get tired of feeding the hungry, of loving the really loveless, of serving those that just take. Let us never get tired. But instead, Lord, stir in us and change us to become more like you. So Lord, I thank you for this youth team and I thank you for what you're doing in this church. And Lord, we hand it over to you. Say, this is your church. Extend it and take it for your glory. And everybody says, amen. Guys, have a blessed afternoon. Don't get too sunburnt. Amen.